It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Rick. Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Marks with Live the Life Ministries here in Jacksonville, Florida. Live the Life Ministries is a community-based marriage and family ministry where we are passionate about strong, healthy marriages and families, such that we actually equip churches that value marriage and family ministry. We teach them how to have greater success in strengthening the marriages and families in their churches and in their communities. We offer classes to teach healthy relationship skills. We don't teach you about it. We teach you how to do it. Like we say is we're not about being here the word. We teach you how to do the word. And we actually show you what that looks like. I always like to say it this way, folks, that we don't teach you to be angry and sin not. We teach you how to be angry and sin not. We don't tell you need to be slow to anger, quick to hear, and slow to speak. We actually teach you how to be angry, how to not be angry, or be slow to anger, quick to hear, and slow to speak. That verse is more about listening than it is talking. That's why we came up with a phrase in our world many years ago that says love actually listens, self talks. Love is a great gift. And so Live the Life Ministries is here in the Northeast Florida area, the Jacksonville office. We're a statewide ministry, and we are passionate about seeing divorces drop. And as a matter of fact, we've seen a 28% drop in divorce here in the last 2 years because of the leadership of Live the Life Ministries and the churches that have partnered with us. And some people didn't believe it, but University of Virginia and Florida State kind of verified it independently for us. And so our goal, hopefully, is a 50% drop in divorce in Duval County in 5 years. So we're a little more than halfway there, and we believe the best place to do this work is in the local church. So if you're a pastor or a ministry leader listening in and you're in Duval County, then you let us know, contact us, and we will come along and let you know what we do, and we can train your people and build a marriage ministry for you if you're in Duval County at no cost to you. If you have a question or a comment, be sure to reach out to us at realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org, or visit our Facebook page, Real Talk with Dr. Rick. That's on Facebook, Real Talk with Dr. Rick. All right, as everyone knows, we are now in the holiday season. The music is changing. We're hearing Christmas music. We are seeing fall colors show up. Trees are beginning to change. Not much here in Florida, of course, but yay. Trees are changing, right? Leaves are dropping. There's been times where there's a chill in the air. Fall is here, and we are now in November. And we're moving to Thanksgiving, and we're moving to a blessed Christian holiday of Christmas. The birth of our Savior and all that that means to us in our Christian faith. And yet, there will be people going into the holiday this year, as in every year, who've experienced divorce or loss or a broken relationship, or they're single, or you don't have a lot of close connections. And when you get your hope up that something will be different for this time of year, there's a party that's looking forward to something, and yet many, many are actually grieving the loss. And you're going to the holidays, which is a time of joy. It's a time of festivity. It's festive decorations and Christmas music and holiday parties, and all of this is about joy. And many, in the midst of these joyful gatherings, will also be reminded of their losses. And like I said earlier, it could be the loss of a family, could be the loss of a marriage, loss of a loved one, loss of a job. And so what I want to do today is, one, encourage you, but also give you some practical things to think about how to deal with grief during the holidays. And so let's kind of take a dive into this and look at some things to think about. And I'll number them as we go along for those that are listening and may want to take some notes. Number one, just trust that grief is part of healing. You see, folks, time doesn't heal pain associated with a loss. It doesn't. It's what you do with that time that actually matters. Grief, if you allow yourself to grieve, you're going to heal. Some people don't want the grief. They don't want the pain of the loss. They don't want the hurt. And so they try to fight it, or they medicate it with alcohol or drugs or pornography or gambling. They try to medicate with some addiction. Or they try to live in denial as if it's not really bothering them. You know, the greatest gift you give yourself is the gift to just grieve, to admit that there's a loss, to admit that you're hurting, to admit that you're lonely. And when you, the truth sets you free. And I've learned in my own journey, truth isn't always pretty, folks. Sometimes the truth isn't pretty, but it is the truth. And when I accept the truth for what it is, even if it's not pretty, then I'm set free. Free to what, though? Free to heal, you see. Free to heal. And I believe free to heal and free to experience the holidays in a very much more positive way than trying to live through denial. And so number one, just trust that grief is a part of healing, all right? So give yourself permission, like to say it in my world, just give yourself permission to actually go ahead and grieve. It's okay, all right? Now, number two, set some healthy boundaries for yourself, all right? Number two, set some healthy boundaries for yourself. You don't have to force yourself to face every holiday event and every celebratory tradition, got it? If you don't want to go to someone's house, and just don't go. It's okay. Now, that doesn't mean you isolate yourself. It doesn't mean that you withdraw. It doesn't mean that you disconnect, all right? We all need to be able to say no to certain things in life. You know what you can do and what you can't do, all right? So allow yourself to, you know, maybe attend a tree lighting ceremony or a church, you know, concert somewhere, whatever. But don't feel like you have to go to everything, you know? So just set some healthy boundaries. Number three, as you grieve, focus on what you can control, all right? Focus on what you can control, all right? Listen, you can't control everything. Think about the Serenity Prayer. And if you think about the Serenity Prayer, it's really about what we can control or can't control. It's really about limited control. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You see, folks, you can't control everything. But guess what, folks? When you learn what I can control and can't control, guess what? You're going to find a little more peace in your life, all right? So just remember, a lot of things about the holidays you can't control. Unexpected people showing up or, you know, whatever it might be. Just learn what you control and can't control. Number four, and this is important for those that are grieving. Number four, plan ahead. Plan ahead, all right? Sometimes we get so focused on what is that we forget to create a little plan. How do you want to be for the holiday? What would you like to do? Where would you like to go? Go ahead and maybe sit down and get a calendar and just start planning ahead, you know? I'm going to be at this Thanksgiving dinner for 2 or 3 hours. I'm going to spend an hour and a half at this office party, all right? It's okay to give yourself permission to plan ahead about what you want to do and not to, you know? Maybe sit down with the calendar and plan out the next 3 weeks, you know, heading up to Christmas, all right? And then maybe do 3 weeks to get us through the New Year's, all right? So, and by the way, let me say this also. Have an escape plan, all right? You get that? Have an escape plan, all right? If you're going to an office party or to somebody's party or a church gathering and you don't want to stay there long, don't ride with the friend. Drive yourself, all right? Don't ride with a friend. Drive yourself. Why? You can leave when you want to. If you drive with a friend, you may not be able to leave when you want to, all right? So think those things through and plan ahead. Number five, and this is really, really important for those who are grieving, give yourself permission to feel. give yourself permission to feel a wide range of emotions. You'll probably feel joy, some sadness, maybe some resentment, maybe some anger, maybe some guilt, maybe some resentments. Remember, give yourself permission. All of those go along with grieving. To deny those feelings is to deny your humanity. One of the greatest gifts you give yourself is a gift of being human. And to admit that you have those feelings is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign that you're normal. You're normal. So just give yourself permission to feel. I know when I was healing from my broken home and growing up as a kid and realizing I didn't have a dad emotionally and I really never bonded to my stepmother and I realized that, gosh, you know what? I'm going into holidays and I have nobody. I remember when I joined the Navy and my first time away from home in the Navy, I was so lonely. I had nobody. And a shipmate, she had an apartment and she was going home to her state, to her family. And so she allowed me to stay in her apartment while she was gone. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there in a chair all by myself on Christmas Eve. I had no one, no friends, nothing, no one. And I remember I was sitting in a chair and I was looking at a chair across from me and I was just hurt. I was angry. I was sad. I was lonely. And I actually said out loud, I said, "Lord, I know you love me, but I need you to sit in that chair across from me physically so we can talk." And then I just started laughing at myself because I knew spiritually he was there. But you get it, folks? Sometimes I just had to feel all that. And part of me wanted something tangible. I just wanted something tangible. Somebody right there. And so I just gave myself permission to feel, went to sleep. And, of course, Christmas Day, I had to work. I was a chaplain's assistant. And so I had to go to work that next day at the base. And we were doing divine services on Christmas Day on about three different ships that morning that were in port. So that gave me something to do on Christmas Day, you know. But give yourself permission to feel a wide range of emotions. Don't deny them, all right? They're there, all right? And just experience them. I always say that emotions never really killed anybody. They just are. And it's what you do with the emotions that matter. But give yourself permission to just feel. And by the way, when you're feeling the painful ones, you know, sadly, back in those days, I didn't have anybody around me. But you need to have someone around. We're not meant to live life alone. And so when you're feeling those painful emotions, that hurt, the loss, maybe pick up the phone and call someone and say, "Hey, I'm really struggling. I'm really alone. Can I come over? Or can we meet?" So allow yourself to reach out to your resources and your support systems around you. And call someone. This is why I believe the body of Christ is really supposed to be healthy emotionally. Because when marriage and families fail you, there's one other divine relationship that God put in order to meet the needs relationally, and it's the church. It's the church. The church fills the gap for the brothers and sisters who've lost something. I am the father to the fatherless. But how is he a father to me? He's a father to me, not just through his spirit, but also through other godly men older than me, you see? And he provides for us through relationship. It's the 59 one another verses. Comfort one another, encourage one another, support one another. You see, those one another verses have nothing to do with theology. They actually have to do with bonding and attachment. So allow yourself to feel a range of emotions. Number six, find a way to honor your memories. Find a way to honor your memories. If you are going into Christmas in the holidays now, and it's the first Christmas and Thanksgiving you have because you've lost a spouse or a child, you know, find a way to memorialize that person you've lost, all right? Maybe light a candle for them every night when you have dinner. Just do something tangible. Maybe go get something that symbolizes them and, you know, maybe a stuffed animal or something that they enjoyed, something that symbolizes them, and put it somewhere in your house, you know, and memorialize them, all right? I had a boss that I really respected. His name was Ray Phillips. And many, many years ago, he gave me, when I was in seminary, I worked for him at the psychiatric hospital. And as a Christmas present, he gave me a stained glass armadillo. Yep, it was in Texas. And every year I put that up. I put that on my tree every year. Why? Not just because I like the stained glass armadillo, because personally it looks weird. However, it's a way for me to honor my memories of Ray. He was a true narcissist, but I'll tell you something. That man taught me so much about helping people, understanding them, diagnosing. He was one of those bosses you really respected, even though he had emotional issues. True narcissist, you really respect him because what he taught me. And so what can you do to honor the memories of your loved one? All right. Now, if you're grieving because there's no one there and you're going into the holidays alone, then what I'm going to encourage you to do is go connect. Join a social group. Go do something. Find some connections. This is why the church is such an important place to be. All right. It is when you get together with people, then you don't feel so alone anymore. All right. So find a way to honor your memories. Number seven, and this is really going to be important, right? Number seven, when there's a loss, that also means you have to create new traditions. Got it? When there's a loss, you have to create new traditions and be creative, all right? You can alter old traditions and you can make them fit into your new phase of life, all right? So if you've lost a spouse and they used to do something for many, many years together, just alter that. You can't have that same tradition because that person's not in your life. But that doesn't mean, listen, folks, it doesn't mean you can't alter that tradition, honoring their memories. We just talked about that. But create a new memory. You see, by creating a new tradition, you're actually saying life goes on. And let's be honest, if that person's in heaven, they probably still love you a lot. I doubt they'd want to come back here. I mean, you think about it. You get to heaven, I don't think they would want to come back here. All right? So because they probably wouldn't want to come back here because they're in heaven with the Lord and it's perfect there and they're perfect love, they're just waiting for you to arrive. So create new traditions. And creating new traditions means that life goes on. The cycle of life is birth to death and that you're just moving on. And that's okay. That doesn't dishonor their memory, but create some new traditions for your life. All right? Number eight, and this is really important. When people are grieving or wrestling with grieving, they're not giving themselves permission to feel, and that typically means they isolate, they withdraw, all right? They pull out of relationships. I understand it. However, pulling out of a relationship is not the thing you really want to do. We're not meant to mourn alone. Romans 12:15 says, mourn with those that mourn. We need people to mourn with us. But you want to know something I found out? Even though I'm grieving, other people are grieving too. There are others out there hurting, and some are hurting in a worse way than I am. What if, number eight here, what if you give yourself permission to find some people that you can do good for? Go do something kind for other people. You see, you still have something to offer the world, even though you're grieving and you're hurting, all right? And you can do some acts of kindness on a regular basis. And you know what that does? That actually is really good for the grieving spirit. It allows you to feel alive again. It allows you to get recentered on what's important in life, all right? Maybe you go, you know, donate gifts to a family in need, or you go serve meals at a homeless shelter, volunteer to help, you know, at a nursing home, or maybe you go make some holiday crafts, you know, if you're up for it, and give those away, you know. Just go do something kind. I'll tell you one thing that I like to do. I know it sounds weird. I'm 57, but I enjoy it. I got this gift from my stepfather, my dad, Paul. And he taught me as a kid how to build plastic models. That's right. He taught me how to build plastic models. And one of the gifts I got from him was building models. And one of the things that I've always enjoyed doing is sitting and building a plastic model. And I usually build military ones, airplanes, tanks, those kind of things. I'm a Navy vet, so what would you expect? Military guy, right? But I build these things, and I paint them. And then I go give them away to some kid. That's right. I'll find a kid, and I give them away. I've never kept anything long. I've given it away. And the joy for me is in the building and then prepping it and then giving it to some kid and watching some young kid Just look at that airplane, that F-14 Tomcat or the F-18 Hornet, right? Or a World War II airplane or a ship or a tank. And they look at that, and I've done my best to paint it. You know, they're not perfect. I can see all the flaws, but to them, it's perfect, right? And to see them and know they went home and hung it in their room. Listen, doing something kind for others gets your mind off what's going on in your life and allows you to invest in others. It's a powerful thing to serve others, particularly when we are struggling. And this last one I want to spend a little bit more time on, and this is it. When we're grieving during the holidays, I said earlier, the tendency is to isolate, to withdraw, to shut down, to maybe move into self-pity. A lot of that leads to depression, and we tend to medicate that pain. You may medicate it through alcohol, could do it through drugs, through gambling, pornography. It becomes anger. It could be resentment building up. And what happens is we tend to withdraw from people. And not only do we withdraw from people, we have a tendency to push people away. We don't want them around us. We push them away with our anger. We push them away with our resentment. Or we push them away with our criticism. The greatest gift you give yourself during this time, if you're grieving and hurting, is three simple words. Ask for help. I'm going to say that again. Ask for help. It's okay to not be okay. And if, brother and sister, if you're a part of the body of Christ and you're listening to me, I get it. There are many times the pulpits of America have basically intentionally or unintentionally sent the message that if you're hurting or you're struggling, there's something wrong with you because you lack faith. This is not a lack of faith. It just means you're human. And asking for help is a powerful, positive thing. It shows maturity. It takes humility, by the way, to ask for help. You got to admit that you can't do something, and we need to reach outside of ourselves to our resources and our supports around this. You see, there's people around you who are there, they just don't know you need it. You're not asking for help, or you're pushing them away when they want to help. Ask for help. Now, what would that look like? It may be asking help from your pastor. It may be asking for help from a friend. It might be asking for help from a good, solidly trained Christian counselor who understands the scripture but also understands what's taking place psychologically, emotionally, and they can help you find the what you need and help you find some healing. But it all starts with asking for help. You're not meant to live life alone, Genesis 2:18. Let's be honest. You can be married and very much alone. The idea of aloneness mentioned in Genesis 2 isn't about marriage, because you can be married and alone. The idea of aloneness there is how God made us. He created us for intimacy. He created us for connection. All humans have to bond. And when we are not bonding or we're not connected, we move into pain. And when we're in pain, pain always pursues pleasure. It's the way the brain works. Maybe we give ourselves the permission to not be okay. And I learned something a long time ago. And here it is. When I get to the point that it's actually okay to not be okay, then I found out I'm going to be okay. You get that? When you get to a point that's okay to not be okay, you'll be okay. Why? You're going to quit trying to be something that you're not. You're going to be what you're going to accept. This is where I'm at. And I need help. I remember 2005, I was going through a really rough time emotionally, and I was struggling, and I realized I had some deep wounds that I had to deal with for my father, the deep father wound. And I remember I picked up the phone and reached out to a dear, dear friend, was a charismatic Episcopal priest, Dr. David Foster, and I reached out to David and I said, I don't need you as a friend, I need you as a counselor. And for 2 hours, he just listened to me dump and cry and share. And he just listened and comforted and encouraged. At the end of it, he gave me some insights into myself that I didn't have. But I had to pick up the phone. Here I am, Dr. Richard Marks, counselor, and I needed help. I needed help. And you know what? I'm okay with saying that. Because see, I'm not perfect. I'm human. And in my humanity, I recognize I need help. I'm not meant to live life alone. I'm meant to live it in community. And when you live life alone, you're going to get the benefits of aloneness, which is hurt and pain. Ask for help. And if you struggle with asking for help, I admonish you, put the pride aside. Move to courage. And you do that by moving to humility. So you move to humility, then go to courage, and be courageous and ask for help, whatever that might be. Is it a 12-step meeting? Then go do that. Celebrate recovery? Go do that. Ask for help. And I tell you what, you know, in CR, Celebrate Recovery, they always say we have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We all have them. And you know what? The fact that we have hurts, habits, and hang-ups just means we're human. And folks, let me say this. It's a lot better to live life being human than trying to live life and be something that you're not. So here's my admonition for you. If you're grieving, it's okay. Grieving in the holidays, a lot of people tend to isolate. Just remember, trust that grief is part of healing. Set some boundaries. Focus on what you can control and cannot control. Plan ahead. Make decisions about what you want to get involved in, what you don't want to get involved in. Make decisions about, you know, if I'm going to go here, maybe I drive so I can leave early if I want to. Allow yourself, give yourself the permission to feel a range of emotions. That's normal. You're human. Find a way to honor the memories of those you've lost, be it a spouse, a child. Sometimes some of you are maybe, you know, you'll have to grieve the loss of a pet. I get it. I remember when Barnaby died, our big old bloodhound. Man, I was like, they killed us, you know? You love those dogs. And they're like, you know, they're like family to you. Create new traditions, folks. The loss is here. Make new traditions. Be creative, all right? If you need to alter an old tradition, go ahead and do that. It means I'm giving myself permission to move on.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkestone, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The president who sought a kinder and gentler nation, one who firmly invited Americans at one time to read his lips about not raising taxes, has died. President George H.W. Bush was 94 when he passed away last night at his home in Houston. The president was praised after the Gulf War back in 1991, a very clear and quick victory. But he lost his second bid for the White House just the same amid a weak economy. The World War II hero was the country's 41st president. He was also a Texas congressman, the director of the CIA at one time, Ronald Reagan's vice president, a great-grandfather married to his wife Barbara for more than 70 years. The former president had a matchless resume even when he came into office, one that included combat pilot, diplomat, and, of course, vice president under Ronald Reagan. His approval rating soared to record highs following the Persian Gulf War in 1991. More details at srnnews.com.
For your Saturday afternoon, you better keep the umbrella close. Cloudy with showers, high 76. More of the same tonight, low 68. On Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of storms, high 85. More of the same Sunday night, low 56. Monday, we'll start out with more clouds, a better chance of showers and thunderstorms, high 77. Tuesday, starting out mostly sunny, high 68.
If you're looking for more out of Christmas this year than sales, cookie exchanges, and a parade of holiday parties and obligations, don't miss today's Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman.
Hard as it is, taking even just 2 minutes and being still and resting and meditating on the names of Jesus, you know, that's something that we can't fabricate. You know, peace is the working of the Holy Spirit in us.
Welcome to Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Five Love Languages. Today, our guest says there's a way to escape the commercialism, the never-ending demands on your time, and even the family drama that can flare at Christmas.
Asherita Choo Choo will help us refocus our Christmas on Jesus and recapture our amazement of Him and who He really is. Welcome to a rebroadcast of a program we aired 1 year ago that is so appropriate for today. Our featured resource is Asherita's book, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, an Advent devotional. You can find out more at 5lovelanguages.com. Our host is author, counselor, and pastor, Dr. Gary Chapman. And Gary, you know how busy Christmas can be and how hard it is to keep the main thing, even for pastors.
Well, you're exactly right, Chris. We can be so caught up in the busyness of Christmas, doing even good things, even related to the church, that we forget to have some private time just to reflect upon what God did at Christmas. So, you know, I challenge pastors to have some sit-down time, not just preparing sermons, but just sit-down time with God. And, of course, all families need that. And I think our discussion today will help people do that.
Yeah, I do too. Let me introduce our guest. She grew up as a missionary kid in Romania. She's now married and has children, a writer, speaker. She's written the book Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, an Advent devotional. Her name is Asherita Choo Choo. Her last name is spelled C-I-U-C-I-U. You can find out more about her and the book at our website, 5lovelanguages.com.
Asherita, welcome back to Building Relationships.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
We talked about your previous book last time we were together. It's titled Full, Food, Jesus, and the Battle for Satisfaction. And that's an issue for many of us as we move toward the holidays. Can you begin by just talking a bit about that particular struggle?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so many favorite foods at Christmas, right? And the temptation is just to overindulge because, oh, it's just this time of year, or who knows when I'm going to get to eat this again. But if we're not careful, food can become almost like a medication, a way that we fill our loneliness at that holiday party, or something that we run to because there's tension in our family during the holidays, or maybe just something that we overindulge in. And so part of the message of that book is that Jesus has come to give us life to the full, and true satisfaction is found in Him. And that's kind of how the books relate and connect, too, is that when we turn to Jesus, we find that fullness and that satisfaction that cannot be found in anything else, whether it's food or anything else that we turn to.
I like that book a lot, but will you please just give me permission to eat just a little bit more at Christmas?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the main things in that book is that food is a good gift from God, and
yes.
He's given it to us to enjoy it, but also to turn our hearts to Him in worship. And so when you have that, I don't know, Russian snowball cookie or that peanut butter kiss cookie or whatever your food.
Now, don't make us hungry, Asherita.
Yeah, take it. And Paul says, eat it for the glory of God. And there's a beautiful, beautiful act of worship there.
Absolutely. Well, let's turn from that to this book. And it's about the Advent season. Why did you want to write a book on the Advent season, and particularly a devotional? Was there a personal reason behind that?
Yeah, actually, this book is very personal. I'll just admit, like, Christmas was not one of my favorite holidays, because growing up, it was just filled with a lot of strife. Just putting up the Christmas tree almost ensured a family feud. And I love my family, but tensions ran high during that time of year, especially as a missionary family. There were just so many commitments, so many things to do. And I kind of, into my adult years, just started praying, like, Lord, I really do want to enjoy Christmas. I really do want to celebrate your birth. And yet all I feel about Christmas is this sense of anxiety. And He led me on this journey of rediscovering the joy of Christmas by refocusing on the gift that we're given at Christmas, and that is Jesus. And so the practice of Advent, which I know we'll talk more about, met me in a very personal way. And when I started this a few years ago, personally, weaving together the practice of Advent and the names of Jesus, Christmas took on a whole new meaning for me, and it's become one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah. You know, when you talked about your childhood, I can just hear the voices of mothers saying, don't push on the tree. Don't push on the tree. And I could hear a wife saying to a husband, you didn't water the tree? Really? You didn't water the tree?
That happens at our house still. Like, the tree dies halfway through Christmas. But yeah.
Oh, well, Advent, I think, is an important time. But, of course, there are people who may be listening to us today who are not familiar with that term, Advent. And so for those people, why don't you give us a little history behind the term Advent and the experience of Advent?
Sure, I'd love to. So the term Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. And historically, the church celebrated the first coming of Jesus, but also focused on awaiting his second coming. And there's a beautiful way in which his two comings intertwine. But it's this period of preparation, repentance, and celebration. And it's been celebrated by the church early on. Some of the earliest references we can find are in 380 AD, so for over 1,700 years. And traditions vary in different denominations of the church, but generally Advent is celebrated in the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, and each week has a different theme. Again, there are variations of this, but it's hope is typically the first week, preparation or peace is the second week, joy is the third week, and love is the fourth week.
Now, for those who perhaps didn't grow up in a Christian church that celebrated Advent or emphasized it, why do you think it's important that we perhaps consider incorporating the concept of Advent into the Christmas season?
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, I think the answer comes in an idea that we all suffer from what I call soul amnesia. So we forget who God is and what he's done from one day to the next. And, you know, just like you and your listeners, I have to remind myself who Jesus is, why his birth is so miraculous, not because my mind doesn't know that, because I grew up in church. I know that in my mind. But my heart ceases to be amazed. And you know that old saying, familiarity breeds contempt?
Yeah.
Sadly, my own heart loses that sense of wonder. So this practice of Advent is a reminder for us, an intentional slowing down and refocusing on what the season of Christmas is really about, and asking God to fill us with that sense of wonder and adoration and love for him.
Yeah. You dedicated the book partially to your parents. How did they imprint your love and your wonder of Jesus?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that, because I feel like I kind of sold them a little short with our Christmas preparations earlier in our conversation. But truly, I witnessed their love for Jesus firsthand. And in our family, the names of Jesus weren't just this theoretical thing, but they took on flesh and blood in my parents' stories. The way that God provided and protected my parents when they left communist Romania, my dad crossing the border with his 3-year-old son on his shoulders. They could have been shot on the spot, and yet God was their protector, and the good shepherd led them to green pastures. And the way that God provided for my mom when she was pregnant with me and I was born in Greece, and she was all alone at 21 years old, and yet he was Emmanuel, God with her. And they would tell me these stories and weave in the name and the character of Jesus. It was so precious to them and still is. And that has just imprinted my soul with the love of Jesus in a way that no Sunday school classroom or curriculum or devotional could, just hearing his name so precious on their lips and in the testimony of their own lives.
Wow. Is that what you hope parents who are listening today are going to discover and communicate to their own children?
Absolutely. I mean, our stories are all different. You know, it might not be a dramatic escape from a communist country, but God is present and active and involved in each of our lives. And my prayer is that this devotional will become a worship primer of sorts, that as parents read about the names of Jesus, they would see how he has been active and involved in their lives, and that they would tell those stories to their children as well, that Jesus would be precious in their homes.
Yeah.
Well, that's Asherita Chuchu, author of our featured resource today at 5lovelanguages.com. The title of her book is Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, an Advent Devotional. You can find out more at 5lovelanguages.com. What name of Jesus is special to you? Don't miss our next segment.
We hear a lot about the cultural decline today. Much is said about the need to embrace the alternative lifestyle. These are just a few of